Will you open your Bibles, first of all, to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6, beginning our reading at verse 20 and reading through verse 36. And he, Jesus, lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast you out. Cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers also unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, for ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And now we turn again to the book of James, chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. James 1, 9 through 11. "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. Practical Christianity. So far, the Apostle James has called God's children to be patient. And he has called them to pray for wisdom. And now he calls us to humility. These verses that we read here from James are filled with contrast, aren't they? Contrast between what the world views as great and what God views as great. The contrast between the godly poor and the worldly rich. And finally, there is a contrast of God's reward of each. So we might call these verses in James the great reversal. The great reversal. Notice with me then, first of all, the exalted poor. Notice with me, second of all, the perishing rich. And then thirdly, the appropriate warning that is given to us. The appropriate warning. Who are these poor? Notice our text, let the brother, let the brother, the lowly one. How beautiful the Holy Spirit by James calls them brothers or sisters. That's a beautiful name. It means that we are part of the family of God. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And now you and I are brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, our elder brother, came here. He is the only begotten, and through him we become adopted children of God. A brotherhood. A communion of saints. So described here are the believer. In this world, poor. And now he says, let the brother of low degree. What does that mean? Low degree. Sometimes it refers to one's natural condition. One is poor because of a lack of food or of clothing or of money necessary to purchase those things. And beloved, yes, those saints that James is writing to were poor in the physical sense. There was a famine going on in Jerusalem, for which later on the Apostle Paul is going to be collecting money from the various churches in their benevolent offerings. But they were not only poor in Jerusalem, but because of the persecution that was going on by other Jews, even as the Jews dispersed to the further areas of the empire, they were persecuted there also by the unbelieving Jews. So they had a hard time making a living. At other times, the Bible uses the term low degree for the spiritual grace of humility. What I'm talking about is the antithesis of pride, not being puffed up of who I am and what I have done and what I have, but rather a lowly spirit. A good contrast that we would have of that is Jesus' parable of the rich man and the publican in the temple. The rich man boasting to the Lord of all what he has and what he has done for the Lord. And then the poor man, the publican, not daring to raise his head up to heaven, says, be merciful to me, the sinner. One went home justified, the other one did not. So both senses of that term apply here when we read about the poor of low degree. Physically poor, but also spiritually they are humble. Redeemed by Jesus Christ. Redeemed by Jesus Christ's blood. A holy child of God in the midst of a wicked world. A friend of God in a world of God's enemies. Yes, the calling for the child of God is not of easiness, but it is of taking up a cross to follow Jesus, of denying oneself. Our only hope is in the God of our salvation. Our only hope is that God gives us grace so that while we are poor physically and spiritually, He makes us rich in faith. By God's grace, we fight then the good fight of faith. And this is where these verses also apply to our pericope of Scripture there. Verse 2, count it all joy in various trials. We need this kind of humility. Because if you don't have that kind of humility, one is tempted to become angry in those trials. Say, this isn't fair. Why is God doing this to me? The child of God is humble of low degree in this world. Proud? How could we be proud? If we have done an honest examination in this past week as we prepared to come to the table of the Lord, we would hold our head down low, probably with many tears in our eyes. What sinners we are. What need we have of God's grace. Yes, we are required to be humble, not boasting, trusting only in God, clinging to Christ's cross, not seeking self, but seeking God's glory. Oh, what unworthiness is ours, the brother of low degree. Despised and rejected in the world, even as our Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men. James writes to the Jews of the dispersion. What that means is they have no place really in the world. They go everywhere and always they will meet this hatred and oppression. What this teaches you and me, beloved, is that our lives here in the world are not a playground. It's not going to be easy to be a Christian, but it is a battlefield for God's people. They press all that they are and they have into the service of God's kingdom. They press all that they are and all that they have into the service of the church, of their Christian schools, the care for the poor. What kind of resources are all needed? Giving first to the kingdom, not what's left over. Sometimes what is left over after we give to the kingdom is mighty small. I think of many of our large families. You've got the church budget. You've got the tuition of our Christian schools. And you're talking about $30,000, $35,000 per year. I remember one of the neighbors' farms of ours. The kids did not go to a Christian school at all, and yet they were always complaining about how hard they had it. And one would think, how in the world can you have it hard when you don't have all these expenses that the child of God has and delights even in? Not only is there those expenses, but also, many times, the brother of low degree finds that their ability to earn a living is also limited, isn't it? It's limited because, no, they can't go to that job that has the labor union fighting with with management. Or they find that, yes, there are better jobs around, but will they leave the church in order to find those places where there's the higher jobs? And they say, no, no. Many times, the child of God finds that he cannot climb the ladder to success because of his Christian principles. He might have to say to his employer, no, No, I will not work on the Sabbath day. No, I will not do that. It goes against my Christian principles. The brother of low degree. We read, let that brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. That word rejoice really is a word almost that means demanded. It's a very strong word there. In other words, we must not complain because of our poverty, or we must not complain because of the difficulties that we face. We may not complain because of the trials that God sets on our path. We may not complain because of the limited influence or limited resources that we might have, but rather be content. Be content with our lowly station, even thankful for it, and even glorying in it. You say, why and how? How can I glory in that low position that often comes to the child of God? And it's this. The Lord Jesus did not come into this world for the righteous, but he came into the world for sinners. Humble because of what we realize about ourselves. We are sinners, depraved, totally dependent upon God's mercy and God's grace every day. And not only then must we not complain or be filled with self-pity, but rather rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. We already heard that in another sermon on James, the trials that we undergo. Think a moment of Peter and John there in the prison. Put in prison because they cast a demon out of a young lady. They did a good deed. Whipped with many times, put into prison, and they are singing in the middle of the night because they are counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. We rejoice. We rejoice even in our low position, because of God's grace. Because by his grace we have the right priorities. It isn't, first of all, that real nice motor home. It is not, first of all, that nice boat. It's not, first of all, that house with three stalls of garages for cars. It's not those things, but rather we give to the kingdom causes, and we do that because of God's grace working in us. And we rejoice because of God's grace that even though those sinful thoughts run through our minds, he gives us grace to combat those temptations, to say no to Satan. All of God's grace. And yes, let the brother, the child of God, a low degree, rejoice in that he is exalted. We rejoice that God does not despise us, but God loves us, God delivers us, and God will exalt us in the new heavens and in the new earth. Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice. So the exalted poor, poor in this world, physically, usually, and also spiritually humble, we will be exalted. That brings me to the second point then, the perishing rich. Yes, there are rich in the church also. And in the Bible, there's plenty of passages about the riches that God would give to some of his saints. I'm thinking of Abraham, his much cattle and servants, or Job with his large family and all the possessions that he had. But these rich in our text, I do not believe are the rich in the church. God gives to different degrees, doesn't he? He gives to each as he sees fit in his wisdom. But the rich are not the godly rich here, but they are the ungodly rich of the world. Of the rich in our text, we read that they are not addressed as brothers. Notice of the poor, he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice. But the rich are not called the brother. Moreover, our text says of the rich man that he shall pass away. Verse 10, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Or again, verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. The flower that is there for a little while. I love tulips. But quite often with the wind that's blowing in springtime, the tulip finally opens up, and maybe it's only one or two days, and all of a sudden the wind blows and there goes the petals of the flower. Or on the farm, you take the mower, you cut down the grass early in the day, and as it lays out there in the sun, quite often you can rake it and bale it up the very next day. It's so dried out. The rich shall pass away. In all of his pursuing earthly things, that man doesn't have any time for God. He doesn't have any time for the church. He doesn't have any time for kingdom causes. The contrast then in our passage is between the poor child of God and the ungodly rich. In James chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, I read, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Or again, you have in Luke chapter 12, 15 and following, the rich fool. He pursues getting more and more stuff so that when he gets old, he can just sit back and he is well taken care of. And he does not consider that that very night the Lord is going to take him away. And then what does his bigger barns really do for him? And the answer is really nothing. Or again, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, these verses, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to whom? To us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The rich man. Rich, falling into divers temptations and snares. Very uncertain riches that they hold in their hands one day, and then the stock market changes, and all of a sudden they're left with hardly anything. During the Great Depression, how many people committed suicide when all of a sudden they found within a year's time that what they thought was a lot for themselves was nothing. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus again also contrasts the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man with his sumptuous feast on his table, Lazarus sitting out by the gate just waiting for some of the crumbs from the table to be given to him. What a difference. What a difference in their life, in their hope, and in their end. We are taught, beloved, that God has chosen the poor of the world, the base and the despised, to destroy the wisdom of the world. God takes the weak things so that one can see it's all His grace that supplies them, not the wise and not the rich. The rich of the world, ungodly, no time for God, no time for the church, no time for the kingdom of God, they shall perish. Now that's God's word. That's not what we often see with our eyes, is it? When we look at the rich, they seem to prosper. Look at that nice new car they have again. And look at that house that they live in. And look at all the vacations they go on. Beloved, do you hear the words of the psalmist in Psalm 73? Asaph looked at the world, the ungodly, and they prospered while he himself was having great affliction. And he was upset. He even said, I have served God in vain. It doesn't pay to serve God. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there were no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than the heart could wish. And therefore he says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Do you ever have those times when you wish you had what your neighbor might be able to afford and you can't? You can't because of your commitments to the church, to the kingdom, to the Christian school. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. But when he went into the sanctuary, then it's all changed, isn't it? We read in Psalm 73, when I thought to know this, why the wicked are prospering and he has to suffer, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. God has put them in slippery places. To be rich is not something we should be desiring. For the rich are known for their covetousness. They're never satisfied with what they have. They want more, and they want more, and they want more. What a terrible life that is. Never being content, but coveting, wanting more, greed. And God's word says, they will be brought low. They will be humbled because their end. They may gain the whole world, but they lose their own soul. Like the flower that flourishes for a little while and then passes away, so the rich flourish for a while here in this world, and there's no trace left behind of them. They waste away under the burning heat of the righteous wrath of God. The perishing rich. So having contrasted The exalted poor, the perishing rich. The third point, the appropriate warning for you and for me. Why does the Apostle James, by the Holy Spirit's direction, write these words to these dispersed Jews who were persecuted and having little to live by? Beloved, it is a sharp warning that stands in direct antithesis to the American way of life. We here in America live differently than the person does in the Philippines, for many of those in the Philippines. Oh, there's rich people there too. But most of us have very comfortable homes. We have plenty of food in our homes. That almost to ask for our daily bread seems like, well, I've got plenty of bread and I got better things than bread in my cupboards. But there in the Philippines, there's the poor. They don't know where their next plate of rice is going to come from. They have to sell these small little items by the roadside just to get enough for the rice for that day. And maybe if they have a really good day, a viand to go along with it. But here in America, we're rich, materialistic. And it's easy for us, in fact, it's very difficult for us not to live like those around us, expecting all the comfortable things that we have in our life. The American way of life. We live in a world that celebrates the person who goes from rags to riches. Look at how he made it for himself, whether by the stock market or some other good choices. What is the ideal in much living today? It is to make something of oneself. Increase in your strength. Increase in your power, in your influence, in your money. And you and I need to be warned about that. We need to be warned about that. The poor, at best, are pitied. More often, the poor around us are even looked down at. Oh, don't go to that part of the city because there's those bums that are living underneath the highways or other places, despised. Our text, God exalts the poor, the brother or the sister of low degree, filled with humility, and he despises the rich, as described above. The warning. Why is this contrast set here? Beloved, may we make it our goal not to increase in the luxuries of this world, but may we make it our goal to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first the causes of the kingdom. To seek first caring for one another. Sharing with one another as the early church did. But not only that we seek first the kingdom of God, but beloved, may we be warned that we trust in God and his gifts and not in the uncertain riches that our own arms have gotten to us. Called to humility. Humility because of ourselves, we are nothing. Humility because we are so sinful. Humility because it's so easy to be caught up in the rat race of the society that we live in. Called to humility. Called to look to God to exalt us in his time. And he does. He does exalt us. He exalts us already in this life. You say, how? He makes us his friend. He makes us the object of his love. He comes and he speaks to you and me in his word. And he listens to us when we pour out our hearts to him with our troubles or our trials or in our praise and our worship. Yes, he exalts us now because when we're hurting, when we're humble, we feel the nearness and the presence of our God. And being poor and humble, we look to his hand to give us what we stand in need of each day. So we come to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and we say, nothing in my hands I bring. We simply look to his hand that bestows the blessings that we need each day. What wonderful mercy he gives us. We sin against him each day and each day again as we bring our prayers of confession before him. He forgives us. And we look to him and we say, Lord, help me today to live a godly life. And he gives us that grace. So God exalts us now already in this life, but he also exalts us at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to be exalted there at the judgment seat when the Lord Jesus says unto us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy master. What glory. Christ takes us home to be with himself. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Then the great reversal takes place, doesn't it? We who are humble now, despised by the world, poor, are made the richest men and women possible, reigning with Christ Jesus in glory. Rejoice. Rejoice now in the circumstances God puts you in, the trials and afflictions you have to endure. Because the Lord is in this life with you and cares for you. May our poverty then in the things of this world make us rich in faith. May we begin our day very conscious of our need for the Lord in order to fight the temptations that are going to bombard us, in order to go through the trials that are on our path. Pray. Be dependent upon God's grace to guide us at times, to hold us up. For he is our avenger. He is our deliverer. He is our rewarder. Over against the ungodly rich, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, we hear the Lord Jesus say, well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen. Father in heaven, what a warning here. And we confess our need for that warning. For it's so easy for us to get caught up in the American way, the American life, prosperity, riches. Keep us humble, Father. For in our humility, then we will look up to thy hand that is rich in mercy and grace. We're thankful, Father, for the reward that is held before us. It enables us then to fight the good fight of faith. It enables us to run the race that is set before us because the crown that is awaiting us. We're thankful for this word of God. May it guide us in this coming week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.